When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the long-awaited part four coverage of Masters of the Air by Story Archives. I'm your host, Mario Busto, alongside
the other host, Zachary Newton. Welcome back.
Feels weird to just have one show a week. I know it have one outstanding show to do on the Dolphins Hard Knocks that I haven't been able to bring myself to watch that final episode yet, but this is really our only show we're covering right now, and I don't know if it'll stay that way for long. We got Constellation on Apple TV. We're getting several requests for that. I think we at least need to give it the first episode test and see if, you know, one to two episodes, see how we feel after those two episodes, and then make a choice. That drops on February 21st, and it's kind of like the sci-fi fill-in for All Mankind, Invasion. Feels like Apple's always going to have a, you know, a real-time drama. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to have a sci-fi, you know, or something to kind of satiate all genres, so to speak. And that's what we got going on right now. So without further ado, what'd you think of part four of Masters of the Air?
Part four, man. I mean, I expected to have some sort of downtime, if you will, from the all-out war that we saw in the sky from part three. But I wasn't quite expecting what we got. Like, it was overall a pretty slow episode. There's what I hope is a I guess false piece of information of off-screen death that supposedly happens in this episode.
I'm not buying it because
I think there's hope. I didn't see a body, like you said.
Exactly. No body in this scenario. There was no fiery explosion like we saw in the other episode with Kurt's character, played by Barry Keoghan. I would find it hard to believe that Buck is dead, but this is a true story. I don't know the history of this story, and he very well could be, but he's such a central character. You know what? I think part of this episode in particular was it's putting you back in the time, and it's saying, hey, for example, they just finished his mission. They honestly have no idea whether Kurt's alive or whether he's dead, right? Other than the crew that was with him who parachuted out. Mm-hmm. They would know. But in other scenarios, you don't know if these guys died or whether they're POWs or what's going on. You know, for example, Quinn is one of the central characters in this episode. And he's on the run. From pretty much, he's in German-controlled territory in Belgium, and he just continues, thankfully, he's in the hands of people who are trying to help him and rather than save their own skin. Yeah. But you have this scenario where people may think he's dead, but no, he's alive and well, while Kurt, on the other hand, is most certainly gone. And Crosby and Buck seem to be gone as well, but you know, nobody was really able to confirm either whether they were. So we'll see. I thought Crosby was the narrator of our series, so I would find it odd if he was dead, but it is an interesting way. If let's say, for example, they did die on this mission where they bombed the U-boats, it is an interesting choice to do it this way, because it would put you in the mindset of like, well, we don't know, and you have to kind of live with that mystery of not knowing what happened to this character. For Bucky, what happened to his best friend, and that whole thing.
Yeah, I feel like all of these stories have to kind of tie in together. We get Bucky, who's having some character development in this episode. So I mean, we get to, you know, peer in on him for a bit, right? Like, he's, I think, clearly going to kind of take center stage for a majority of this season, would be my guess. But then we also have
character.
Yeah, I mean, we also have the crew that's, you know, right now in Belgium that are trying to work their way back. And I mean, I don't think we're just going to have this single isolated story focused on them either. So, you know, I'm hoping that you're right. I'm hoping that there's just a lot of, you know, lack of clarity here, and, you know, just no evidence that, you know, well, Clevin's actually dead, and we maybe find out later on in the season that, hey, they are alive. Maybe they also had to bail. Though I find it hard to believe based off of how part three went, right? Like, it was like the last thing that they were going to do was bail out of the plane. Yeah. So I feel like I'm made to feel like that way intentionally. Maybe they're alive. Maybe they'll meet up with the crew on the ground in Belgium at some point. They find each other and end up working their way back. I would love for maybe that to be the case, but I just don't know. It's so 50-50 right now.
Totally. I got to say, I mean, Quinn's in a really crappy situation right here where he has to escape Belgium, but he's got some good luck. I mean, every single girl who helps him out in Belgium, from Belgium until on the way out, they're all pretty. So if you're going to be in a situation of danger, you might as well have some, you know, pretty, what do you say? Like a Belgium, a girl from Belgium, Belgish?
I really have no idea.
You're a resident Googler. But yeah, he's got help from, you know, his girl who gives him a kiss on the cheek before he leaves. He gets help from Louise, the French girl. And then there's the blonde girl on the train who also helps him out. So he's like 3 for 3 right now of what's going down on the way out. So it's, I guess this is the cards that he drew.
They would be a Belgian.
Belgian. That was dumb of me. Belgian. That's what I said, though. I said
something like that. It sounded pretty close. I'll give you an A for effort.
Belgian girl, yeah, that makes sense. Anyways, I'll be honest. If I was him, I would have just stayed a farmhand on the farm. You know, learned Belgium, Belgian.
Eventually you're gonna have to like go into town for like some milk or eggs European. Or whatever.
He looks European. His other friend is done for. Bailey.
The moment Bailey. You open your mouth, though, you're just like, "Hi."
No, Bailey's like Brad Pitt from Inglourious Basterds. Bonjour, bonjour. we do pick up from last episode where the boys flew pretty much across Europe down to Africa, and they're waiting for their platoon to arrive in Algeria, where they land. Mm-hmm. And it's right back to action. One of the key things, and we talked about this in the first episode, was that 25, like eventually, before there was no limit on flights that you could fly in the military. And this episode makes a big deal about the number 25, and you have to fly 25 missions. And then you can call it quits because they have the celebration of Ames, I believe, or Dies. I forget the name of the...
Can't remember the name.
I have IMDb pulled up here. I can find it pretty quickly. But they're celebrating the fact that he has surpassed, or he's made it to the 25 mission mark, which is unheard of at this time. I mean, they're going to send him on a tour pretty much to let people know, hey guys, it is possible. You know, it is possible to make it.
Yeah.
And you have even that kind of like cynical tone from Bucky, who's talking to the newbies on the block, the new lieutenants who arrived to the base.
Yeah.
And he's pretty much saying like, if you make it to 11, you know, he's like, why 11? Because you beat the odds of everybody else. So,
yeah.
And, you know, I think this whole episode, Bucky's kind of having this, he's going through a lot. He's dealing with the fact that they're not putting him behind a plane where he's not actually piloting at this point. Mm-hmm. So he's dealing with that. He's dealing with the fact that all his, you know, the guys that he's leading are all dying left and right. And he doesn't feel like he's in a place where he's actually contributing. Mm-hmm. Then as these guys are dying, they're just bringing in fresh new soldiers to replace the guys who just died, pretty much. Right.
Yeah.
And he's feeling kind of worthless. He feels like, you know, we're just a number. He's talking to Buck at the bar. He says, you know, nobody's going to remember us. When we go down, it's going to be the same thing. It's just going to be new guys come in and replace us. And Buck kind of makes the correct read on him and tells him, hey, you need a weekend out. You got to go recalibrate. And he recalibrates with a Polish woman. And that's pretty much like that Polish woman was like therapy for him in a way, you know, because they both suffered loss during the war. They both get each other. And that was kind of his disconnect. He had a couple of key moments, right?
Yeah.
That where he's kind of feeling bad for himself with the Polish girl. And then the other key moment is when he sees the British woman mourning the death of her daughter.
Yeah.
In the rubble of the bombings. Because in the night that he's hooking up with his like one night stand girl, which it wasn't really what he was looking for, but it just kind of happened that way. And seems like she needed somebody to kind of confide in. I don't know what the word I'm looking for is right now, because the words are escaping me. They both needed company. And it was one of those things where she wasn't willing to go through the heartache of losing another pilot,
mm-hmm.
right? And he was kind of looking for, you know, fulfillment in the middle of like this hectic time, right? Because these guys are all living like every single day is their last. And so for the first time, you actually see a sober Bucky who's taking things seriously. And that's why I think it was a big Bucky episode, because you finally mm-hmm. get the serious tone out of him. Not everything's a joke. And I think now you can see why he makes everything a joke, even to the point where it's not a joke, but it's easier to use that metaphor of baseball and sports and, hey, who was a buck in the lineup? You know, how did he do? Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah. Kind of to broach the topic, a really tough topic of, you know, your best friend possibly being dead. And it kind of snaps him back to reality where he says, all right, enough's enough. I'm subbing into the game.
Yes.
I didn't purpose.
I didn't think about that being some of the reasoning of why maybe like that's why he had the phone call the way he did with the like baseball references. But I, you know, when I heard that, I kind of thought it was more of a like a security matter, right? Like they don't want people to know what they're talking about in case somebody is listening on the lines.
I thought that too as yeah. well, but it also felt kind of like the opposite side too, where it's totally Bucky's character to kind of detach a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he needed the reminder of what he's doing is honorable, even though he kind of had this moment where he was thinking about all the lives he's probably taken with the bombs he's dropped.
Yeah.
And then he sees the British woman who's literally crying. I mean, that woman, it was haunting to a yeah, point, that performance.
Was, bombed. That actually... Man, it is going to bug me to death. I'm going to have to look it up. But it reminds me of a movie that I watched on Netflix recently where these guys were sent in to bomb, I want to say it was like the Nazi headquarters. And, you mm-hmm. know, during the mission, one of the planes, I think it actually got hit and it veered off. It was really foggy. It wrecked somewhere. And all of the bombers that were coming in behind him, a little ways behind him, they didn't realize what the target was. They thought that where they saw the fire now was a target, that they were actually off on their coordinates because it was hard to see. And then they all turn and they all bomb this thing. And it actually ended up being like a kid's school. It was crazy. It's just horrifying.
I don't think I've watched that movie. I thought you were going to mention the movie The Darkest Hour, where Churchill's walking around London and he's seeing that famous scene where they're pretty much telling him, you know, you got to be careful, the Germans are bombing us, and he's just walking through the streets and he's taking the subway and all that. I thought that was a good one. But yeah, big episode for Bucky. Buck kind of is, you know, Buck is Buck. He's always going to kind of just be, you know, the stalwart leader type. You know, he doesn't really change too much. Mm-hmm. I think you know, he's in his own lane. He flies the mission almost the next day after, while Bucky takes a day off, he flies the mission and really is trying to get revenge on failing on the first mission to bomb the U-boats. And they were successful this time around in bombing the U-boats. Mm-hmm. However, only 12 out of the 35, no, hold on, 12 out of the, I have the number here. Only 13 of the 24 planes returned on that one. So that's two missions in a row. The first mission that was in part three, where they flew pretty much as the only squadron all the way to Africa. Only 12 of 35 made it back from that. And now 13 of 24.
Mm.
So these guys, although effective in taking out their targets, they're losing fort after fort after fort here. So it's pretty yeah. intense.
They really are. The name of the movie that I was trying to think of is called The Bombardment. That's the name on Netflix, though I think it actually goes by, I believe it's a foreign film, if I recall correctly. So another name that I see it go by is The Shadow in My Eye. It's from 2021. It was a good movie, but I mean it's a haunting movie. Like it's a little depressing, I'm not gonna lie. But that, seeing that woman towards the end of this episode really it kind of threw me back into that. Yeah, I believe it's a German show. There's like two sides of it Danish. That are shown, right? Like so there's some parts that are in English, and others
Danish,
that are not.
Danish. I looked it up. It's a Danish film. You know, you do tend to see a lot of the. Have you ever seen like some of these German World War II movies? I mean, they're all very way more on the somber side. You know, they're like All Quiet on the
Western Front. Yeah.
What do you think of the? I thought it was a really cool scene with Quinn and Bailey when they're being pretty much interrogated on being American. It's kind of like that American citizenship test that they give to
they give to everybody else trying to come here.
Yeah.
I liked it. And it was interesting. I was like, man, you better not get those questions wrong. But I mean,
I didn't.
For a moment though, I was like, even if you do, maybe that's, I don't know, maybe that's, how are they going to know? Right? Like that was part of what I was wondering. Really, like, how are they going to know if you're telling the truth?
They didn't really show us the infiltrators' answers. And I was shocked when they shot him because I was like, I thought this guy was in Bailey's platoon. So I thought that he was freaking out because he's like, you know, that's Johnny, you know, you just killed. I served with him for like 2 years, whatever. But no, I'm almost positive that they were correct. And he was a German infiltrator, which good job because the accent was crazy. And I had no inkling that he was a German.
I didn't remember that guy's face at all. So. Granted, there's been a lot of faces in this show. I mean, just look at how many people went down with this episode and the last episode. So it is kind of hard to keep track.
He was the one singing his heart out on the Star Spangled Banner. He was like the only one of the three
who was convincing.
Like, yeah, he was really singing his heart out on that one, and maybe it was too much. Maybe it was too much. But they shot him. They didn't even show evidence that they knew for a fact, but they did it. Yeah. Quinn almost made a critical mistake too. I thought he swallowed that paper when he was jumping from the plane of his orders of that mission.
Yeah.
And turns out he had it in his bag. I mean, Quinn has two faux pas or two mess ups in this episode where he has the orders in his bag, which could have been just catastrophic.
Detrimental,
And then he loses his cool in the train as they're pulling up to the station with all the Nazis outside. Mm-hmm. Which, if it's not for that girl who stops him and gets him to get his act together, they're done for.
Very lucky. I mean, she shouted, "What stop?" It was in English too. So
it's
a little dangerous. I was like, "Oh no!"
yep.
Oh no! Yeah, he's got to keep his cool. Bailey, the guy with him, I feel like that guy's just as nervous as Quinn is. He's just trying to play it cool.
He's playing, I don't think he's playing it cool like Buck and Bucky.
Well, not that way. Yeah.
Yeah. He's just kind of trying to stay under the radar while he looks like corn-fed Wisconsin, born and raised, you know. That's what he looks like. The other one looks like he could be a character. He looks like the main character from All Quiet on the Western Front. Like he looks like a young German kid. Yeah. But, yeah. Anyways, in terms of some of the other storylines that were taking place here in this episode, I like the new CO. Mm-hmm. I'm digging the new CO. He's kind of one of the dudes. Kind of reminds me of the guy from that really dark, like that, what is that called? Invincible, I think it's called.
Mm.
You ever seen it? Type Invincible on... on Google. It's a animated series. It's like a dark graphic.
Invincible's the animated series. He looks like 17-year-old.
He looks like the main character a little bit. He looks like the hell's his name, man? Omni-Man. He looks like Omni-Man. But just a little bit of that.
Okay.
We'll talk about lemons in a second. And like the fact that they're they're making you care more about the characters. We learned a little bit about Lemons. He, you know, he fixes the engine before they're able to take off while it's taxiing. We meet Nash and we meet this crew of his, like the Skivvy crew, where these guys are kind of known for flying in their underwear or something like that. And he hits it off with Helen, the donut girl. And you get like this, they got such good chemistry, and then he's probably dead. I mean, unless he's part of Buck's crew, which I don't believe he is. I don't know if he has that Buck plot armor at the moment.
I don't think he does.
Yeah.
I don't think many people do.
Well, I mean, the fact that it is a true story, and we're obviously stopping ourselves from investigating it too much so that we can discuss something and not be know-it-alls about everything.
Yeah.
The fact that it is a true story, like it could have totally been a creative direction, a creative choice to make you have to experience Buck's death like this, right? Because it puts you in Bucky's position. We don't know. We know about as much as Bucky does, right?
Yeah.
It's only until that phone call that we know a little bit more than him. And then we find out pretty much what he finds out. And we're up in the air as well. And it doesn't seem like we're going to get a return of Buck next episode. It looks like this is going to be Bucky's time to shine, where he actually pilots a plane for the first time.
Yeah, I mean, he did fly in, like, what, it was the very first episode, right? That was about it, though. He hasn't.
Did he? Are you sure? About that?
I think he did. It was because he came out here first. He came out here before Buck did, before Clevin.
We did get a YouTube comment.
He did have a mission early on, if I recall correctly. But I mean, to be fair, we haven't really seen him fly since, you know, Clevin and the whole crew's been over here. So I agree with that. It's been a solid at least 3 episodes since he has flown anything.
Yeah.
I know he was in the air. I just can't remember if he flew.
Yeah, me neither. We do have a comment, but I don't have the comments pulled up. If you want to look up our YouTube comments, I believe we had somebody who left us a helpful message about Buck's flying status, or Bucky's flying status, if you want to do that.
Sure.
So we pretty much leave off for this episode then. The mission was successful. They did bomb the U-boats that they were not able to do on Buck's second mission, it feels like. And Bucky's returning to base, taking kind of a shorter leave, coming back from his little weekend pass to fly immediately. At least we can assume he's going to fly. It also looked like he was drinking before he was flying in the sneak peek for the next episode. I could be wrong about that, but it sure looked like he was pulling a Denzel original movie Flight.
I don't know if I've seen that movie.
Yeah, it's a true story. I think it was.
I remember that the trailer.
He saves everybody. He's like a hell of a pilot.
Yeah,
but he gets caught like having like substances in his system. So it's like a whole thing. I haven't watched it in a while. So
I remember hearing about that. Who wouldn't be drinking before flying a plane straight into hell? I mean, can you imagine?
Yeah. I think I'd be taking a shot of whiskey or something too.
I'd be bringing the bottle.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's the first thing they give them when they get to the medical bay. It's like a couple of whiskey
right away. Yeah. Calm those nerves. Chill out. Warm yourself up a little bit, you know?
Yep.
That comment we got was from a Bulletproof 844. Saying, if I'm not mistaken, Blucky flew in episode 1 on his first mission in Europe, but he handed over the plane to the co-pilot when the rear gunner was hit. I'm pretty sure that he sat in the pilot seat, but I'm too lazy to check. I wanted to contribute something.
Hey, I appreciate the contribution.
Absolutely.
Bulletproof what? Bulletproof.
Bulletproof. What's Bulletproof? 844. Yeah, Bulletproof is the way to go.
That would be like, that's a badass gamer tag, like to put like Bulletproof.
Yeah, playing Call of Duty or Battlefield or something.
Yeah. All right, Zach, let's go ahead and, unless you got any final comments, let's get into some categories here, huh?
No, let's get into it. Let's do favorite scene of the episode.
Favorite scene of the episode. I want to switch it up because it felt like a fresh episode. I liked Bucky's night out. I liked seeing, you know, Bucky and Night on the Town, that whole bit, specifically when he's like watching the bombs outside his window.
Oh, that was,
he's kind of having a heart to heart.
Yeah. Very, very interesting.
Yeah. I thought that was a good scene.
I
can I follow that up?
You can follow it up. with all your cute balloons. You got the,
I got the balloons. How do we turn that, how do I turn off those effects?
You got to do it on that FaceTime thing up in the very top of your toolbar. Mm. It's lit up green. Yeah, you got to turn it off there. What's your follow up?
My follow up is the last scene of Bucky in the phone booth, and pretty much the baseball metaphor is being used, and then ending it with I want tell coach I want to pitch.
Click. Yeah,
and he hangs up the phone and cut to black. I thought that was a badass ending to the episode.
Well, that's my favorite line of the episode. I'll be there in time for the game. Tell coach I want to pitch, whatever. That was my favorite line. But my favorite scene was actually the interrogation bit over in Belgium. Yeah. I like that a lot. I like seeing the other side, right? Like, you know, we always see so much of the base and so much of our guys. Like I do like seeing the risk out in the field. So I thought that was good. I mentioned my favorite line. What's your favorite line?
You kind of took it. I'm not gonna lie.
It's hard. Like, it's hard to top that one.
I kind of just like that whole back and forth with that whole, you know, baseball dialogue. But
yeah,
that's me.
I feel like we're both gonna be very aligned on favorite character, unless you throw me a curveball here.
It's got to be Bucky. Clearly, Bucky in this one.
I agree. This is his standout episode so far. I like it.
This was Bucky's episode, his character development episode. We talked about it last week. We said Bucky needs the sober up episode where we can kind of see a little bit inside his head a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And this was it. And I think it gave Callum Turner an opportunity to play it serious in this episode. So we haven't had Bucks, but I'm assuming if Buck's alive, we're going to get Bucks episode for sure.
Yeah, if he's alive, it's a big if, man. Like, I mean, that being a creative choice if it's just like, man, we're left hanging, because think about how many planes go down where people don't see they go down. They're just literally left like, I don't know, maybe somebody made it, maybe they didn't. You just have no clue. But anyways.
I think one of the things, I know it does feel like they're rock stars on base, but I think the show's trying to tell you that these two were a rock star combo on base, because even the lieutenants, you could see they're talking to them like they're talking to the Beatles.
Yeah,
when they get there, you see the guy like, you know, yeah, we flew in Laredo or whatever mm-hmm. they said, but they were trying to impress these two. So these two are obviously like, you know, what do you call it? Big man on campus. You know, when it comes to, I guess, the new underneath the CO, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Any other categories?
Those are the categories I got, man. Favorite scene, best character, best line.
All right, you gotta maybe surprise me one day with a fresh category. I'd appreciate it.
I'll see what I can throw in there. Anything you want to close us out on? Any thoughts? Any predictions? Maybe.
No, I got no predictions because I don't feel it's right with like a true story type of thing.
That's true. That is a little weird doing that.
Yeah, but I do have some other stuff we can talk about. All the right. Bear season 3 comes out in June. Supposedly all the episodes are going to release at once. It gives us a lot of time. I'd like to do a Bear series. I stick by that. I'll stand by that. Zach, how are you doing on your Game of Thrones progress? Because we got House of the Dragon season 2 coming up in the summer. And we also got the news today that there is going to be a new prequel Game of Thrones series based on Aegon's Conquest, which I'm sure you've heard about at this point in your Game of Thrones marathon that I get texts about continually. If you don't want to hear Game of Thrones spoilers, I suggest you leave this podcast right now. Zach, to you, how do you feel? How's it going? Where are you at? Give us the lowdown on your Game of Thrones adventure.
Yeah, feeling good. You know, what do I say here? I mean, I've heard of the oysters, clams, and cockles now, so I get that. Yeah. Man, I think I'm almost through all of season 6 at this point. I think I'm on like episode 7 of season 6. So
what's happened at this point for you? Like, where are you at? What's going on in Game of Thrones right now?
All right. Well, Arya just got her vision back.
Okay.
Yeah. So that literally just came back from the many faced god. John, my boy. Man, thank God for some saggy old tits. That's all I can say.
And okay, so he's back. I didn't want to say anything before I knew he had resurrected.
I was concerned. I'm like, is it gonna be John? But I feel like it's all John. I don't think this is like other shows. At least it doesn't feel like it right now.
How mad were you when it was Ollie who did it?
Yeah, I wasn't even mad that it was Ollie. Like, I knew something was gonna happen. Right, the moment Ollie was asking questions and he was like, "Oh, so you know, even if it's the right thing, but people will hate you for it, you should do it, right?" I'm like, God, no. What's gonna happen? So I was like frustrated with that. But I mean, he got what was coming to him. So
who's top in your top three? Like, who's your, you know, you're going out, you want to have three people to chill with on the night out. Who are you bringing to the bar with you? Who's sitting at your VIP section at the bar?
So number one is Jon Snow.
Jon Snow. Like, doesn't seem like he's added much to the party, but okay.
I mean, come on, he's like one of the most epic people in the show, and he's the one that's not dead anymore. Right. Arya is my
Arya.
She's one of my favorites. I mean, you don't get much of her, honestly, but I'm much more vested in her storyline over most of all of her siblings. Mm-hmm. The third would probably be, and I feel like I always butcher his name. It just does not roll off my tongue well, but Tywin Lannister.
Tywin? The father?
No, the...
The imp?
The imp, yeah.
Tyrion.
Thanks. See, I knew it. I was like, I was going to say Tyrwin, and I'm like, that's wrong. Never flows off my tongue the right way. But Tyrion Lannister.
That's right. They call him the imp, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, they call him the imp in the show a lot, too. He calls himself that.
Nah, he calls him... Remember what he tells Jon Snow? He says in the first season where he goes and tells him, if you use their names or something against you, like, you know, embrace being a bastard, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, then they can't use it against you. So that's why he's like, I am the imp, you know?
Yeah.
And he takes it. He's the best character. Tyrion is the best character on the show, hands down. I don't think that's not a controversial, you know... Take.
He's grown on me so much. Take.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's great, man. He's great.
Grown on me so much.
Where's Tyrion right now in your show?
Well, Tyrion is, you know, she's over there with the dragon.
She's Queen with Khaleesi. He's with Daenerys. He's with Daenerys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Though she's not with him right now. He is the advisor at the moment. She's off burning down huts.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I think I'm taking Tyrion to the bar. Who else am I taking to the bar?
Daenerys, of course. Like, now you're gonna bring her.
Well,
it's the grin that. Well, if I think about it,
who else? Who else would be fun at the bar? I think Bronn will be fun as hell at the bar.
that'd be too wild.
That's the only reason I was thinking, like, maybe I don't bring Bronn because it might get out of control.
Might.
Yeah. And the third, I mean, I'll take, I'm not going to say, let me not say anything else. Let me not say anything.
All right. But I'm looking forward to getting through it. I feel like I'm getting close to the Battle of the Bastards, which, I'm starting to see is not what I initially thought it was going to be. It's a different bastard.
Okay. All
right. At least that's my assumption, unless I get a terrible.
What's your prediction? By the way, you only get this if you tuned into this episode of Masters of the Air this long. Nobody signed up for this who's tuning into this podcast. We might get some nasty reviews saying, these guys are talking about Game of Thrones at the end of this damn show. What's going on?
Yeah. I mean... What's my predictions with what's going to happen in the battle?
Yeah.
Man, come on. I hope Jon Snow is going to be the guy that pulls through with...
I'm not going to say anything.
With everybody.
When is that coming up? When is that coming up?
You know, I'm really not sure which episode it is, but I mean, it's got to be soon. I'm middle or just past the middle of season 6, I believe. I think I just finished episode 5.
You'll know because the title of the episode is...
Well, yeah. Yeah. I looked a while back, but I can't remember. I want to say maybe it's like episode 7 or something, but
of 6
of season 6, I think.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
All right. All right, man. Let's wrap this up. Y'all, if you want to stay tuned with us, we're posting our Peaky Blinders show, our Peaky Blinders coverage on YouTube. We're doing several a week. Just stay tuned there if you want to watch that show and kind of have a commentary to join you on it. Keep in mind that was our first series we did here on Story Archives, so that is not something we're recording present day. That is something that we are posting for the first time on YouTube. As far as other show coverage, we're considering Constellation. We want to watch the first episode or two, see what it's about, and then decide if we're going to do it on a weekly basis. I don't believe we'll be exceeding 2 shows at once. And I also, and I don't know if this is going to occur yet or not, but I would like to do, as we get closer to the Oscars that are in April, a very Oscars-centric series where we go through the best films that were nominated. But let's see how the first quarter of the year goes. Hope you all are doing well. If you want to reach us, contact us. Soapbox.house is the way to email us. And as always, like, subscribe, rate us 5 stars, and tell a friend that you love them.
That you love us.
No, that you love them, and that you also love us.
Yeah, I mean, they go together, like we're family, right? Well, anyways, like Mario so eloquently said, thank you very much for listening to this episode of Masters of the Air by Story Archives. You can find us anywhere you find podcasts, Apple Podcasts and Spotify primarily. You can visit us at YouTube at Soapbox Podcast Network. Visit our website at soapbox.house. Email us at contact@soapbox.house. And we do have a link in the description below to sign up for our quarterly newsletter.
Alrighty, y'all. Until next time, peace.